From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Special music is by Alyssa Sabartinelli. Our Old Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Nancy Lewis.
Our first lesson this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Here ends the reading of the first lesson. Our second lesson comes from the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 26 through 39. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord.
Our gospel lesson and sermon are presented by our guest minister, Reverend Howard Ellis.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, we read verses 31 to 33, and then we do verses 44 to 52. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field when someone found and hid, and then in his joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it to a shore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven would be like the master of the household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Lord, open our hearts to see your kingdom in our midst, that it becomes from small starts and grows into something big, and we can be a part of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I was over at Lohmann at St. Paul's for one of the chili suppers, and I love pie. I don't care what kind of pie you have, I'll eat it. And they had grape pie. Well, why not? Bring it on. It's delicious. It's really wonderful. And I thought, well, why not make grape pie? You know, there are wineries all over Missouri. They make wine, they sell wine. There's some nice ones over in southern Illinois. I think grape pie might make a nice specialty too. It makes sense. Vineyards around us and local wine, homemade grape pie. You know, many farmers today have vineyards. You see them all along, and they sort of fit in with the rows of corn, with the grape, I guess you call it arbor, or whatever you call it, the grapevines, the vineyards, they grow, look so neat and orderly. Except there's a problem, and every farmer knows it, every gardener knows it, and I bet you if I say it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Weeds. Weeds are everywhere. Weeds were here when I was little, and weeds will be here when I'm long gone. You'll probably be pulling weeds after I'm long gone. The weeds will be here. That's just the way it is. You know, you never know when or where they go. They just cannot predict how they'll be, and that's why they're like the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It just shows up, it's there, and we don't understand how. Take the parable for today, the parable of that mustard seed. You know, we tend to think, well, how wonderful to think about a little bitty seed becomes something great big. But what it grows into is a bush that spreads. And if you lived in the ancient world at the time of Jesus, and somebody started talking about mustard seeds and praising them as a symbol of the kingdom of God, they might give you a strange look and saying, this thing is a problem. It'll take over your fields just like that. It starts out small, and it'll spread, and it's not really a tree. It's more like a big shrub, a big bush. Maybe a bird can get in it if it's a little bird. But Jesus is comparing something that's very small, that keeps growing and spreading, and that's the kingdom of God. The things that grow from small starts. I remember in Metropolis, the community and the churches all work together for rebuilding the community. And the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church, we were assigned to rebuild a house or to refurbish a house. And we were there, and I remember somebody sent me out, can we somehow remove some of these vines that have grown up? And I thought, well, you know. And then the woman told me, she says, my husband saw these vines and he thought they were so lovely. You know, the little plants. And we took it home, we planted it. And at first it looked lovely on the side of the wall. But you know what happened? The vine spread. It grew up the wall. It grew in between the walls. And even when I looked one time, you could see where it had grown around the window frame. I think Jesus would maybe talk about the vine, the ivy vine, and say, that's the kingdom of God. It starts as a little plant and grows everywhere and spreads all around. We're talking about the kingdom of God that comes into the world through the power, through the mystery of Jesus' word. Small, unnoticeable, insignificant starts, but it becomes something of its own. And you and I are a part of God's kingdom, a small start that goes on. Jesus doesn't stop there in today's gospel lesson. He uses parables. Now, you know what a parable is. You've used parables. We've read parables all our lives. It's just a story that takes something ordinary and builds something out of it. You know, one Bible scholar talked about it. He said it's a metaphor. It's a simile. You look at something in our world around us and you compare it to. And I was trying to think, how can I illustrate what a metaphor without getting into a big English lesson in a sermon? And I don't think you want that. And I was thinking about, Alberta. You know, Alberta's right there. She probably can't hear me. But I'm talking about you, Alberta. She doesn't hear me. You'll have to tell her later on. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to use a metaphor to describe Alberta. I'm going to say, Alberta is a peach. Now, I'm not saying Alberta is a peach necessarily. I'm saying there's something about Alberta that is good. A peach is a good fruit. It tastes good. It's sweet. It's something that brings joy to our lives, and we all enjoy a good, fresh peach, which will be soon to come. And that's the same thing we say when we talk about a metaphor. It's a way. And so when we say the kingdom of God is like a vine, it's like a mustard seed, it's like all of these things, it's a way of talking about how God works in the world and in our lives in ways that surprise us. It could be like a housewife who takes some dough. You know, we had a lesson in how to make bread here during the children's sermon, didn't we? We saw how you add the yeast and the flour and it grows. But also, too, you have to understand something. In Jesus' time, you didn't go to the store and buy a package of yeast. Where do you think you got the yeast? You let a piece of bread rot, literally rot, and then you took part of that and put it in your bread. So that was something that was useless, something that was rotten. God turns it around and uses it for something for good, something most people thought was dirty, something that was useless, something that might have been considered evil. God turns it to something good. Or what was unusable and wanted becomes valuable in God's hands. Or like the treasure hidden in the field. It's of great value, and the guy says, oh, I've got to have that. And he goes and sells everything he's got. Or the merchant looking for a pearl, and he finds the pearl, and it takes over his life. What would you give up to have the kingdom of God? What would you give up to possess God's kingdom? What possession would be worth it? Sometimes we put in there, would we put in there what we consider useless? What we consider of no value? I know a woman who would answer that for us in a rather strange way. We probably would say what she considered valuable was not so. I'll tell you the story of Flo. This is a woman who received something valuable, and we would see it as junk. She and her husband wanted a child. They prayed and prayed, and in her 40s, guess what happened? She became pregnant. And their joy was overflowing, and they came and back and shared it with their friends and neighbors and the congregation they worshiped with. And they rejoiced over their good fortune. And everybody was happy. And then she went to the doctors. And the doctor revealed some tests that revealed something rather upsetting. The child had probably Down's syndrome. All the tests indicated that. You know, that's not rare for women or older couples who have children. What would we do? Some would say, that child is useless. It's nothing. They warned her against having the baby because it'll only bring troubles into your life. Children like that can be horrible, can be demanding, and make too much out of you. But they decided that they were going to have their baby. What the whole world said was useless. And the baby was born, and it was a beautiful baby girl with a wonderful, wonderful beaming smile. It was easy at first. There was a few minor health problems, but the baby came home. And the day I visited, one day, we're marveling at just how Flo and her husband loved and cared for that little baby. And I got to admit, she said, it was a bit scary at first. There were days when I wondered if we'd made the right decision. I loved our little girl, Mary Jane, but still I wondered if we would be up to the demands of the future. And then she went on to say, one afternoon, I was drinking a cup of tea, and that was a difficult day for Mary Jane because she'd been cranky and crying all day and just could not settle down. And I was exhausted, and I felt rather wore down. And I sat there drinking the tea, looking at her, and suddenly the sun shone down through the window, and it shined directly upon Mary Jane in her crib. And I looked there, and I was astounded. The spotlight was upon my little girl, and she smiled back with that wonderful, beautiful smile of hers, and it was like a vision for me. It was like God saying to anyone and to all, this is my child with whom I am well pleased. You see, what we saw is useless, God saw of great value. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. We say that could never amount to anything, and God takes it and makes it something beautiful and something useful. The kingdom of God comes sometimes in difficult challenges, like Flo and her husband did with that child. I remember there were two brothers one time. You know the story, by the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen. And Jesus came and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And somehow, we don't know what went on in their hearts and their minds, but they left everything. They left their father, they left the boats, they left the nets, they left the fishing, and they went with Jesus. And I don't think life was ever always pleasant for them, but it was always filled with joy of being a part of the kingdom of God and being with Jesus. You know, when you take up the call to follow Jesus is a challenge, but it's also an exciting thing to be a part of God's kingdom, and it excites us in ways we wouldn't think about it. A pastor tells a story. He was a pastor in the South when he was a student at a college. He was a junior. No interest whatsoever in going into the ministry. But his friend said, would you like to attend a retreat exploring Christian ministry? And he really didn't want to explore Christian ministry, didn't want to go down that path at all. But it was an all-expense-paid weekend, and it happened to be at a woman's college. And he said, well, I may not be interested in the ministry, but I sure would like to explore the women. And off he went. And there, four pastors stood up and told stories about what it was like to be a pastor in the South. This was back in the really years ago. And the first one was a Methodist pastor in South Carolina. He told about a cross was burned on his front yard of his house. And one had a concrete block thrown through the back window of his car. And the other had his children beaten up in the park because their father was, we'll call it nigger lover. It's not the proper thing to say, but you know what why I'm saying it. Because that's the way people talked. He sat there. What do you think? Now, most people would say, I want nothing to do with that. But the challenge of God's kingdom came to him. He said, this is great. I never realized being a pastor could be so exciting. And that's what happens when God's kingdom comes. Things that look horrible to us suddenly become very challenging and very interesting and very engrossing. Who would really want to be a part of a church that's full of all these cross people and they say obnoxious things to you and yet you choose it because it's the place where things happen? Jesus told us that's the cost of discipleship. He tells us, follow him. Your own family might reject you. And the kingdom of God may change everything, and you may have to do some jail time, and maybe get beaten up. You may, worse, you may have to face the cross of Christ. And Jesus is telling us that the kingdom starts out small. Mustard plants, small seed. He tells us about a woman making bread, small amount of yeast. We saw in the day in the children's sermon. You remember how that sort of that was? That yeast was a small amount of yeast and a lot of bread. Makes a lot of bread comes out of just a small amount of yeast and some flour and water. You know, the branch comes, the plant grows, the mustard seed sprouts, a branch here and a branch there, and that's the way God's kingdom goes. It grows suddenly, and it's alive with people nurtured by the gospel. Yeah, the kingdom will come. It may change your life. It may make demands on you. But that's what the question before you is. Sometimes we don't know what to do with the kingdom of God we've been given. Even right now, I know that that California United Church of Christ is struggling. The struggle is, where will we get our next pastor? And people talk about it. Every time I talk to someone, that kind of comes up in the conversation. Sometimes I don't even have to solicit it. People will say, you know, or we're going to get a pastor someday, and that's you're seeking a new pastor, and that's a crisis. And God is at work in the midst of it. You know why? You read it this morning in the second lesson. We have an advocate, and the advocate is the Holy Spirit. That helps us in our weaknesses. It intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And St. Paul says in today's reading, we know all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, today it may look dismal. It may look like there's nothing. But that's the way the kingdom of God is. A mustard seed, and next thing you know, it's everywhere. It's like weeds. It just grows and takes over and it overpowers our lives and we find ourselves moved by God's Spirit. So the only thing we can do if we're going to live in God's kingdom is to trust God. Our God will use the things that are most unusable. God calls us to love with a reckless abandon. God sees that what others that we cannot as we cannot see. But living this way, we live and we grow into the kingdom of God. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.